Father, we come to say thank you. Thank you that we understand and know that we need to glorify you because you're worthy to be glorified. We just say thank you, God, for the ability and the skills that you have given us, God. And we thank you more than any for anything. We thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for all these the believers that are in this place. God, and I'll ask and I'll thank you at the same time to hide this thy servant behind the cross. God, and speak through me as you have never spoken before. In the name of Jesus, my resurrected Lord, I pray, amen, amen, and amen. I'm glad it's time to preach because I keep changing, trying to change the title of this message. And if I don't hurry up and do it, I might want to change it again. Ushers, you may take your seat. And to the committee for the choir that come up with the passage of scripture, I beg your indulgence because I'm not there. I'm at the fourth chapter, verses 1-6. And when I walked in here this morning, I had a subject of the walk of a Christian believer. Now I have a subject of how to walk in unity with Christian believers. And that's where we're going to stay right there, because the same passage of scripture, we come up with the same thing. And you have to be united if you're going to do anything. If you're not going to do anything, you don't have to be united. And I'm gonna do this right now, so in case I forget it, you can't say I didn't do it. You had something up there, and we saw it come in, and we didn't know what it was, and you didn't show us. And so I'm gonna show you now, and how we need to be united. I want you to look at this ball, and we've done this before, but I want you to look at it. There's two different components in this ball, and they are totally separated. And I want you to watch it. Now you can't tell the difference in them. I'm going somewhere. Don't y'all fall off. And don't go to sleep, because if you go to sleep now, you're going to miss it. This is another ball of two solutions in it. This one was mixed up last Sunday. And it's still the same way it was. We're talking about unity. And Brother Earl's not in here, so don't none of y'all tell him. If that falls off, we're going to blame somebody else. This is a ball of oil and water. This is a ball of a vitamin C component and water. Talking about unity. This has been united together ever since last Sunday. And I still can't separate it. The components that was in this solution changed the color of this water. But because the color's in it, that's the only reason you can know it's in there. I'm going somewhere. Don't y'all leave me now. Don't go to sleep because church folks are just like this. Church folks are just like this. They with you long as you're shaking me up. Long as you're shaking me up, this is all there is to me. This is all there is to me. And choir anniversary, today, everybody with you. Watch them next week. The choir itself is together this week. Watch it next week. The church is together at 11 o'clock, from 11 to 12:30. If you stay here to 1 o'clock, I'm going to start doing just like this right here. It has already started separating because you have stayed here too long. Unity within the walk of believers. This right here, I have looked at it every day since last Sunday, and it has not changed. It has not changed. That's the way the unity need to be in the church. That's what God intended for it to be, where you can't tell it apart, but each one of us have our separate identity, but you cannot. We allow the devil to separate us. And we align to separate us in the name of Jesus. You can say it, but you don't mean it. And Sunday school lesson this morning was good. Was talking about praying. Everybody that you don't like to hear pray, that don't mean they ain't praying the way God want them to pray. Everybody that you like to hear pray, that don't mean God is telling them to pray that way. Because, see, sometimes when y'all think I'll be sitting up in there, or these people be praying, I'll be looking at y'all. If he or she pray too long, or if they get to talking about lying and you a liar, so now, y'all have seen my problem. Now, get my message. We owe God more than we could ever pay. God has taken his own son and provided the ideal and perfect righteousness for us. God provided a substitute to die for us, to actually bear our punishment for having rejected, rebelled, and cursed him for having broken his law. God has provided deliverance from death for us through the reconciliation of Christ. He has provided a new life for us, a life of love, joy, peace, happiness, and power through the Holy Spirit living within us. Talking about God fixing us to walk for him. He has provided absolute assurance of living eternally with God forever and ever and ever and ever. He has already provided that for us. And he also has provided so much more than eternity could. Not eternity cannot describe it, because we can't describe something we have not seen. John tried to tell us how it was going to be, but he really couldn't. He just used our language to express it. God has honored us as much as any creature can be honored. He has seated us in heavenly places, and we are to rule and reign with Christ forever and ever. We don't see it yet. The condition I'm in now, how you going to tell me I'm going to rule and reign over somebody and I don't even have a house to stay in? They about to put me out, take my own car. They about to repossess everything. How are you telling me? Just keep trusting in God and believing in him. He left us here to be a witness of the great and glorious salvation that is in Christ Jesus. But the day is soon to come when we will experience it all. God is going to make new heavens and a new earth that will be perfect, in which there will be no suffering and no death. How to walk in unity with Christian believers. Point number one, the way to walk worthy. Once a person believes in Jesus Christ and become a member of God's people and of God's church, what must he or she do to walk worthy of God's great calling, to bring honor to the name of Christ and his church? You notice I didn't say become a member of grandmama's or grandpapa's church. Say become a member of God's church. And become one of God's people. Yes, number one, point A under this is the believer must walk with all lowliness. And we don't want to walk low. We want to walk high. A humble person may have a high position, may have power and wealth and much more, but he carries himself in a spirit of lowliness and submission. He denies himself for the sake of Christ and in order to help others. A lowly man is often looked upon as a coward, as a cringing, despicable, slavish type of a person. Men and women fear humility. They fear humility because they themselves have a low opinion of humility. Just because a person is humble, it doesn't mean that you can walk all over them. Humility results in a person coming to Christ and learning of him. When you come to Christ, I don't care how high and mighty you are, Christ will humble you. Humility results in a conversion and an assurance of our entrance into the kingdom. When you get humble, when you humble yourself to Christ, he will see that you make it into the kingdom. But you have to humble yourself to Christ before you can humble yourself to anybody else. Everybody that walks around and lets you treat them any kind of way, they are not humble. Some of them just trying to get something from you or trying to make you think that they're something that they're not. Humility results in being exalted by Christ in that glorious day of redemption. See, everybody else can think anything you want about me. Long as Christ knows that I have humbly submitted myself to him and am waiting on him until the day of redemption. Because the day of redemption is coming when Christ is coming back to get what's his. Humility results in a healthy relationship with God and with your fellow man. If you have a relationship with God, God will humble you. He will let you know that just because you submit yourself to me, it doesn't mean that everybody else will walk on you. Just because you submit yourself to me, it does not mean that everybody else is going to think you are humble. Humility requires an honest evaluation of oneself. We want to evaluate everybody else for humility. We don't want to evaluate ourselves. We need to evaluate ourselves. Humility requires courage. It takes courage to become Christ-centered. It takes courage to become people-centered and to give ourselves to the cause of Christ and others. We want Christ to save us so everybody else can serve me. It's different. Christ saved you so you can serve everybody else. Jesus Christ, the one who spoke and everything came into existence, did not come to be served. He came to serve. If you are going to be his servant, you have to be a servant just like him. You have to serve others. After you have walked in humility or lowliness, then you must walk in all meekness. Meekness is to be gentle, tender, humble, but also strong. This substance, where is it? Here one of them right here. This substance that's in this ball is water. It's one of the most strongest substance that God created. Nothing, when water gets together and water starts flowing, everything that's in the way gets out of the way, or it gets swept away. So water is a strong force, but you wouldn't think it. Look at all the other uses that it has. You know, meekness. Water is a perfect example of that to me. Meekness has the strength to control and discipline. It shows control and discipline at the right time. Meekness has a humble state of mind. The meek person simply love people and love peace. Meekness has a strong state of mind. It looks at a situation and wants justice and right to be done. Meekness has strong self-control. A meek person controls his spirit and mind. Do not allow others to control your mind. They say a mind is a terrible thing to waste. If you have meekness, your mind is not wasted. It is just waiting for the right opportunity and at the right time. The meek person dies to himself. He does the right thing at the right way. Exactly what God wants or needs to be done. A meek man forgets about himself and live for others because that's what Christ has done for him. You cannot do any more for anybody than Christ have done for you. You can do a whole lot less, but you can't do more. How to walk in Christian unity with other believers. God is meek. You can find that in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Jesus Christ was meek. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. And believers are also to be meek. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength. It's just strength disguised so you won't recognize it. They tell the story of a little boy that went to school and everybody was always jumping on and beating him up every day. Just kept jumping on and beating him up every day. And his daddy had told him, said, when you get in a fight, son, said, you fight to win. And he didn't like to fight. They just kept beating him up. And his daddy told him, said, son, until you learn to fight back, they're going to always jump on you and beat you up. Said, a guy that's keep fighting you, said, you can beat him. His daddy hadn't seen that guy. He was a whole lot bigger than his son. But one day he fought him. And he just kept swinging and was missing him. Wasn't hitting him nowhere. The reason he was missing him, he had closed his eyes and was just not looking where he was swinging. When he got home that day, he told his daddy. And his daddy said, show me how you fight. And he showed him with his eyes closed, just like that. He said, okay. Said, tomorrow when he bothers you, said, just tell him. Said, I want to look at you when I swing. So just keep your eyes open. He said, before that happens, he said, that day when his daddy was training him in the kitchen, said his daddy told him, said, now do the same way. He did the same way, and his daddy got behind him and told him, said, now open your eyes and stay where you are. He opened his eyes, his daddy was behind him. He said, you need to see who you fight. If you can see who you fight, you can beat him. So the next day, his daddy told him that day in the kitchen, said tomorrow, said, just keep your eyes open. Said, so you can see him. He kept his eyes open that day. The boy got beat up. The boy's daddy called the little boy's daddy. And told him, I don't want your son jumping on my son anymore. His son was almost as twice as big as the other boy. But he kept his eyes open. Why are you saying that, baby? Because if you keep your eyes open, not your physical eyes, your spiritual eyes, that joker is already defeated. He's bloody and bruised, but you got to see him. You got to see the devil that you're fighting. You got to know who the devil is that's coming at you. He's not gonna have a tail and a pitchfork and be red. He's not gonna be there. He'll come at you dressed just as fine, come in all his Sunday best, have on a three-piece, have Stacy Adams and everything else. But he's the devil. So you got to see him when he come at you. So you will know what you're fighting. So you can be meek and do that. Then you must walk in long suffering. Suffering a long time. Perseverance. Long suffering never gives in. Pressure and hard work may fail us, but the Spirit of God will help you to suffer long. If you trust in God, you can suffer long under all that comes your way. Men may do you wrong, but the Spirit of God helps us to suffer under hardship. long suffering never strikes back. Common sense tells us that a person who is attacked by others could strike back and retaliate. But Christian believers is given the power of long suffering. Long suffering is one of the great traits of Christ. God and Christ are long suffering towards sinners. And I'm so glad that God was long suffering. I'm so glad that he didn't give up on me. I'm so glad he kept long suffering with me. See, when we take it generic, we make it seem like God didn't have to wait long. But when you make it up close and personal, you know how long God had to wait. How long God had to suffer through all that mess that you were doing. How long you had told God, God, if you get me out of this, I won't do it again. So many of us have hugged the commode on Sunday morning, hugging that commode. God, if you let me get over this, I won't do it again. And before the sun went down, we had turned up another one doing the same thing. That's why God is long-suffering with us. You need to be that way with other people. But God does not give up on us. He's long-suffering. We need to be long-suffering with others. We need to not forget from whence we've come. So many of us forget where we have been and we don't want to give. Be long-suffering with others. I stopped by to tell you that if you're going to walk with believers, you got to be long-suffering. Well, listen, God is long-suffering because he loves you. He loves you so far that he loves us regardless of the feeling. That is love of a person even when the person does not deserve to be loved. That's the love if the person is utterly unworthy to be loved. See, and all of us got people in our lives that we think that are unlovable. But all you got to do is just step back and roll back and play your VCR or your DVD of your own life. And remember how God long-suffered with you and how he just loved you beyond what you were able to love. God loved us with an agape kind of love. A love that had loved us for no reason at all. Just because he's God. Somewhere in his word it said God is. God is love. No and if or maybe he is love. He has the agape love. You can be the most despicable person in the world and God yet loves you. We're talking about how to walk worthy in Christian unity with other believers. Agape love is the gift of God. God gave us that gift. Agape love is the greatest thing in all of life. According to the Lord Jesus, he just loved us. He said the greatest commandment is that you love the Lord your God. You just got to love because God is love. And you have to go back sometime and read the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Read it. And it's a gift of God. It said the greatest of these is charity. And charity defined is love. Given to somebody that don't deserve it. I know we can all think of somebody else that don't deserve it. But there's somebody that thinks that about you and about me. I don't see how he or she can love that joker. He's so sorry to live. He ought to, Doreen, he's still living. He's too sorry to die. But God yet loved him anyhow. God is love. I got to get out your way. Point number two. The purpose of walking worthy is onefold. And it's called a word called unity. You got to walk in unity. Believers are to work to keep the peace so that they can stay bound together. Got some, but I can tell you I can tell you, I ain't gonna mess it up, baby. Listen to me. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. When you bind all three of them together, they are hard to break. Now, thank you, baby. I wouldn't do that to nobody else because they'd get mad with me. Yeah, you my baby. Listen. When a church get in unity, it's hard to break them. It's hard to break them. And I thought about y'all when I was doing this, so I'm going to get out here so I can look at y'all. I said, it's 22 or 23 of them, 24, 25, 26, 27, if you get them all together. And if you take and wrap all 27 of you together, just think how difficult it would be for the devil to get in there. But what we do, and the rest of y'all that's sitting out here, y'all think I'm just preaching to the choir? Uh-huh, you too. You too, you the choir, you be the choir today. If you take people and knit them together, it's hard. Now I want you to look at this one. See, you got separated. You're not through separating it yet. The devil will come in and he'll cloud things. This water here still got some grease in it. If it stays there long enough and nobody disturbs it, it will be just as clear as that bottle of water over there. How do I know that? I've done that several times since yesterday. Just let it stay there for, and it'll clear up and it's totally separate itself. See, the devil won't you separated. He does not want you like this. See, now today, y'all gonna be unified today. Help me, Holy Ghost. But tomorrow, no, not tomorrow, 6 o'clock, today, how you gonna be? You're gonna be through being shook up today. By 3 o'clock, you're gonna be got back in your own thing, doing your own thing. You too, y'all too, y'all will be the same way. But you got to stay united together as a body of believers. That's how we have to walk. You have to walk so close together that nothing can separate you. Although you may be physically apart, but spiritually you will not be apart. Jesus said, I will leave a comforter with you. He was the comforter to the disciples while he was here, but he said, I'm going away. And since I'm going away, I'm going to leave a comforter with you. And he will bring to remembrance everything that I have told you. We don't want God to bring to our remembrance of what he told us, so we just stay. We're going to be so unified today. And this goes for the ushers, the deacons, the preachers, the anything else you got in the church. The whole church, the trustees, everybody ought to be united in one body of believers. And the devil do not want you to be that way. That covers that part. Okay. When a person approaches God through Jesus Christ, he or she comes like everyone else on the same ground, at the same level. You can't come to God different because you're a deacon. You got to come on the same ground that the drunk come on. The same one. You can be a preacher.
You can be a pastor. You can be a bishop. I don't care what you be. You got to come on the same ground, and the ground is level at the cross. When you come to the cross, the ground is level for everybody. No big eyes, no little you. Because you have all the gifts, all the talent. You don't come any higher than anybody else. You got to come to God on your knees with a repentant heart if you're going to unite spiritually with the body of Christ. Well, the Spirit of God, when he enters our lives, he binds us together. A three-chord string is more difficult to break than a one-chord. The one-chord is when I'm by myself. But when it's me, the Father, and the Son, then if I want to get four, I get the Holy Spirit. And it's more difficult to break. You can't break it just by one lie. You got to tell a whole bunch of lies. And then the lies are going to be disproved. But you have got to know that you need other people in your life. Well, within the church, there's a prevailing spirit of peace that's wrought by the Spirit. But there's a tragic fight. Not every believer walks in the Spirit. Not all the time. Too often believers allow self and the old life to crop up. We allow it to bring up his head, and we give him room to speak. You know, I just believe that if Eve hadn't took time to talk to Satan, she might not have been deceived. We give the devil too much room in a life. If somebody bring you something about somebody else, you ought to do one or two things. You ought to put your fingers in your ears, or you ought to turn and walk away. See, if you don't talk to the devil, you won't know what he's saying. But if you stand there and talk to him just one time, say, well, I can talk to him this one time. You have made a drastic mistake. You don't talk to him. If he bring it to you, just let him take it back. If he going to tell you something somebody said, say, well, I'll call them and let them tell me. I don't want you to tell me. We give the devil too much room. We think we can stand up and talk to him. Well, I'm going to just go to this party. Just this one time. No, don't go. Because if you go, you're going to want to do something else just one time. So you just don't go. Don't listen to the joker, because he does not mean you any good. If we're going to walk in unity, we have to have the same step. We have to do the same thing. We might not say it the same way, but we have to say the same thing. You have to preach Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, died and resurrected and went back to glory and is coming back. We may say it different, but it all needs to end up being the same, the identical thing. I got one more point, and I'm going to try to get out of your way. There are seven basic reasons why we should walk worthy and strive to keep the peace and the unity of God Spirit within the church. Number one, there is only one body. God does not have a whole lot of bodies. He just got one, not two bodies, not several bodies of believers. There's just one body of believer. And in this imperfect world, there are so many different denominations and churches. But know what God is doing. God has created only one body of people who trust and follow his dear Son. God gives us a new birth to the believers. God make a new creature out of the believers. God places his divine nature into the believer. God put his Holy Spirit into the believer. God causes the believer to bear fruit of the Holy Spirit. God give peace to the believer in a new body of people. God places you in a body of believers. So therefore, God only have one body. You can't have two bodies and be the same person. There's only one. Then there's only one Spirit. The same Spirit that dwells within one believer ought to dwell within the other believer. If you got the spirit of the devil, you are not of God. You got to have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. one body, one spirit. It is God's spirit that caused a man to be born again. It is God's spirit that calls and gives and directs each member to fit into the body. God won't place a member in a church if that member does not fit. Sometimes you have to get a chisel and a hammer and knock off some of the stuff around him. But God will fix you so you will fit in the building. That's why some church folks don't fit in the building of Christ. They still got old stuff hanging on them. They won't let the Holy Spirit chisel off them and knock off those unwanted things that's in their life. And then there's only one hope. Every genuine believer have the same hope, the great day of redemption. I don't know. I'm not ready to leave here, but I'm just waiting on the day of redemption when Christ come back and I get redeemed and sprout my wings and go back to glory with him. That's the hope that I have. Then there's one Lord. There's not two or three Lords. There's just one, the only Master and King. Every believer has to bow down before him. That's why some people can't make it. They don't want to submit to nothing or nobody. I'm my own man. I do like I want to do. Don't nobody tell me what to do and where to go and how I ought to act. I stop by to tell you that you won't be in this body, because if you be in this body, Jesus done already told you what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. You must receive me in your heart. And if you receive me, you receive all my children. That's what I tell any man that want to marry a woman. If she got some more children, they are yours too. If you ain't going to take her children, don't marry her, because you taking her and all of her stuff, and you bringing some baggage in here. Everybody that have become a member of Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church, you brought some baggage from somewhere else. Wherever you come from, I brought some. You brought some. All of us brought some. But if we trust in the one Lord, he will take it off of us. I got to get out your way. Then there's only one faith. There's only one faith that leads into God's presence, and that is the faith founded upon our Lord Jesus Christ. If a person wishes to live with God and to be approved and accepted by God, you got to have faith in Jesus the Christ. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived and he died, and he was resurrected and went back to glory. And that the most important part of it is that he's coming back. And when he come back, he's coming after me. I know he's coming back. That faith that I have in him. And then there's only one baptism. All believers have been given a public witness of the faith, and that's by baptism. Baptism won't save you. Baptism won't wash away your sin, because Jesus was baptized and he did not have any sin. But he said, this ordinance you must do, be baptized to let the world know whose side you're on. If you're baptized, you're telling the world that I belong to Jesus the Christ. Then there's only one God, one Father of all, one God. There's one Son, there's one God, there's one Father, there's one Holy Spirit. And when you get them all together, they all make one. I stopped by to tell you that you got to live the way God would have you to live. If you believe in the word of God, God will save your soul, and he'll take you and he'll unite you with another body of believers that you can live with and that you can worship with. But you got to be willing to go through something. Everything is not going to be peaches and ice cream. You're going to have to get some lumps in there. every now and then, if you keep going out eating grits, after a while, you will find a lump in the grits because everybody don't cook them just right. That's the way it is when you're saved. Every now and then, you're going to find a lump in your life. There's going to be somebody that's going to irritate you. There's going to be somebody that's not cooked quite well. They're going to have too much stuff on them. So you're going to have to endure them. What you do when I run into a lump in my grits, I don't say anything to anybody. I just keep right on chewing, eat the lump and all. That's the way you got to do people when they irritate you. Take them just like they are. Don't try to change them. Just take them just like they are. And after a while, by and by, God will bring them into the body of believers. You just take them just like they are and pray. God, when I find a lump in my life, I don't pray for the person that's the lump. I pray for me. God, help me to endure this joker because he's yours and he or she need to be saved as well. God, help me to listen, unity is so important in the body of believers. Christ does some wonderful and magnificent things with the body of believers. He takes them and he molds them, each one of us with our individuality. He takes us and he molds us into a team. Who was that? The Philadelphia 76ers, no, the Philadelphia Eagles, this year, before season started, was named the dream team of the NFL. They were named without even playing a game. Now, I don't even think they're 500. But they were named the dream team. People would do you like that when you come into the church. They'll make you next to Jesus. And you have so much sin in your life. And then when it comes down to real time, to playing time, to game time, you fault along the way. And they get upset with you. They need to start out like, I think it was the San Francisco 49ers. They're 8-1 now. They didn't think they were going to be anything. But see, if you start with God, God will exalt you. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Didn't say you were drawn. That's why I say anybody that come to this church, if God don't bring you here, don't you come. Don't you come, because if you come and God didn't bring you, you ain't going to be nothing but the devil. That's all you're going to be. You're going to cause more trouble than you're worth. If God send you here, then come on. And God will make room for you. You won't have to make room for yourself. I'm through. But let me tell you a story. I found this one the other day and I said, this is good right here for this time. Y'all, I drink this every Sunday, y'all, one or two of them. So it's okay for me to drink this. And if y'all think it's something else, then I need to check you out. Sporting event, they lined up 9 young men who were mentally challenged to do the 100-yard meter. They were going to race. They put them in the starting blocks just like they did the other guys. And they had practiced on how to get out, and so they was out there, and the starter got out there. The cadence was ready, set, and then you hear the gun. They did that perfectly well. They started out. The guy that was they had 9 lanes. The guy that was in lane 5, he started out, took about 3 or 4 steps, and tumbled and fell. And when he fell, he stayed on the ground, and he started crying, After the other guys got about 10 or 15 steps in front of him, they saw he was not with them. And they turned around and looked at him. He was laying on the ground back there. And one of his friends, a young girl, ran out there and saw him, and they all got back to him about the same time. Now these other eight guys are in the race too, but they turn around and they come back. And they saw him, and the girl saw where he had a skin on his head up there. She leaned down and kissed him on the head, and she said, "That'll make it better." And he had a smile on his face, but he was still crying. So the other eight guys picked him up. And instead of running, all nine of them walked to the finish line just like this. Walked to the finish line. Thank you, sir. Walked to the finish line. He fell. Then but one fall. But the rest of them, because they were, he was in the same race they were in, they turned around, come back to where he was, and they picked him up, and they all walked to the finish line. That is a perfect example of the way the church ought to be. The church ought to be that way. When one falls, the rest of us fall as well. Why? Because he's part of us. And we go back. That's what unity is. That's what unity does. It helps this brother. I cannot survive unless you survive. We're in this together. That's what unity is in the church. The church helps the church. I'm through. We'll extend an invitation.